Good afternoon, warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The last time we met, we looked at Know Your Armor Part 1, where we focused on stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. So we have the truth that should characterize our lives. And then we have the breastplate of righteousness, which means that we have to live a righteous life so that when people turn our lives upside down, even our worst enemy, we will be beyond reproach. And then the feet, where we are to go everywhere with this one singular purpose in life, the gospel of peace. We used to have on our feet not the good news of peace to sinners, they may find salvation. To brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to provoke them unto love and good works, to encourage them, to build them up in the faith as co-laborers with God. We used to have in our feet not the shoes of the gospel of peace, but the shoes of the love of mammon. Everywhere we went in the past, we were motivated by mammon, more and more of what the world can offer us. And so this afternoon we look at the second list, the second half of the list of the pieces of the armor that God has given to every believer. These pieces of armor is given to every believer. There is no distinction. It's not only given to the leaders as if they are more well protected than the ordinary member. You realize that these are all gifts. And so we're going to focus now on the next piece, taking on the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The focus in all these active verbs describing what we are to do with the armor is on the action itself. Some of them are in the command, such as stand, that's a commandment. And then verse 16 talks about take, that's a commandment. But all the rest is not so much a commandment, but it describes someone who has obeyed and holding on to it and not let go. The focus is on the action, which is very appropriate because it depends on which stage of your life you came to know Christ as Lord and as Savior. And once you have known Christ as Lord and as Savior, these are the pieces of armor that we need. And so, having told us the importance of characterizing our lives according to God's truth, making sure that we live in righteousness, everywhere we go, we bring the good news. And then he says, above all, as if he's telling us that this piece, compared to all the other pieces, is number one. Above all, taking. Where the emphasis is on the action of taking, seizing. The shield of faith. Now, we know in the Bible that there is the objective faith, which is the Christian faith. That's what we find in the book of Jude. Earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. That's the Christian faith, Christianity as a whole. Then there's the other faith, which is a subjective faith, your personal individual faith that you exercise at the point of your salvation, which the Bible says is the gift of God. That every truly born-again believer has this faith to believe in Christ, to believe the gospel when it was shared with him, and then he truly understood and accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior and surrendered his life to the Lord. And Jesus Christ would see the sincerity and the reality of his confession. And he, Jesus, will baptize him with the Holy Spirit. And that's when the person is truly born again in Christ. And so we need to ask ourselves in this shield of faith, is it a reference to our subjective faith? Or is it a reference to the Christian faith, the objective faith as a whole? Now, when you look at the second half of verse 16, wherewith ye shall be able, you will have the strength to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. you will realize that it is a reference to the subjective faith. Because it is a faith that can be shaken. It is a faith that can snuff out the fiery darts. Not the Christian faith as a whole, but the faith which is basically your trust in God. Your belief in what God's word says. Now, since you are girded with the girdle of truth, which means you are supposed to know God's word. You're supposed to be studying God's word. Now, the question is, how much of the word of God that you know, that you have studied, do you really obey? When you face adversities and trials, that's the time when the obedience to the word of God will be revealed. And if you pass the test, then you can honestly say to your own heart before God that I have not been a hearer of God's word, I have been a doer as well. And so your day-to-day life, you're going to confront with a lot of issues and difficult people. Whether the word of God is applied, it's going to be crucial. And that is why the armor, out of all the pieces, God says, above all, this one is, as it were, most crucial. Because if you do not have this shield of faith to ward off all the fiery darts, you're going to stop putting on the shoes of the gospel of peace. When you are far away from God, when the devil succeeds in diminishing and shaking your faith, oh, you will not lose your salvation. You look at Lot. Was he born again? Yes. Where was his shield of faith? I probably thought that he put it in the storeroom. You look at his family. You look at what happened to his wife when judgment came. Where was his shield of faith? Was he born again? Yes. Did he have the shield of faith? Yes, he did. Otherwise, he could not be called just Lot. But the Bible said that he was born again, but his life was a mess. You look at Solomon, wisest man on earth. Did he know the word of God? Yeah, he had many strong girdles. He girded himself with the word of God. Definitely. You look at the book of Proverbs. He is one person who can never claim ignorance. I did not know. He knew. But what happened to him? Where was his shield of faith? Again, in the storeroom. And so the gospel of peace, put aside. Breastplate of righteousness, full of holes. Was he girded with truth? Only for show. Because it did not result in obedience. Because no faith. That's why God says, without faith it is impossible for you to please me. You cannot evangelize and then have no faith. You cannot study the Bible and then have no faith because you don't believe, you don't trust, you don't allow it to be translated into heart knowledge. It only will have head knowledge. That's why many students and graduates of FBPC who did excellently well on paper, 20 years down the road, they are a wreck. They are a casualty. Only good on paper, but not good in life and ministry. That's why above all, the Bible says, taking the shield of faith. Take it, hold on to it, don't ever let go of it. This faith must be built up and strengthened with every moment you study God's word. That's what it is. Faith means to believe in what God says, to obey what God says, which is directly related to the Word of God, the written Word of God. You have to have a good, strong, consistent, regular system in the study of God's Word in your own personal life. Because it's your faith. It's your testimony, it's your Christ, it's your witness. I can't do it for you if only I study God's word, I memorize God's word, and all that I've learned and studied, my wife also experienced. Nice, isn't it? Husband and wife, well, God says, we are one, isn't it? So if I study God's word, I memorize God's word, I study Hebrew, I study Greek, I study Aramaic, Then you give it to my wife. My wife also can read Hebrew, read Aramaic, and read Greek. Cannot. Cannot. I wish. That would be so wonderful, isn't it? So how is your shield of faith before we talk about the fiery darts? How strong is your shield of faith? How long have you been a Christian? Don't please ever take pride in the fact and say to people, I've been a Christian for 20, 30 years. You never measure the strength of your shield of faith by just simply number of years. The Bible says that you are only a very wise, gray-headed man if you are in righteousness. That means you know the Word of God and you are living according to God's Word. God will never call you wise just because you grow old and have white hair. That is not the definition of wisdom. Because there are a lot of older men out there in the world who are fools and who are very, very evil and wicked. Because the Bible says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There are a lot of old people who are atheists. They do not believe that God exists. Are they wise, therefore, just because they have gray hair? No. Because they are not in righteousness. So how is your shield of faith? Last Sunday compared to this Sunday, the past 7 days, how much time have you spent studying the Bible? How much time do you really spend meditating upon God's truth? Do you know the Word of God better now compared to January? We are supposed to stay home more. What do you do when you stay home more? Do you spend them fruitfully and wisely? You live in a country where you have a lot of avenues to study God's Word. You have the Far Eastern Bible College. You have all the night classes offered. And I'm sure your church has Bible studies. How do you regard them? Nuisance or indispensable in your life, where you are prepared to put it as top priority? Everything else I'm prepared to sacrifice if I am pressed for time. But not my study of God's Word. Not the time I spend meditating on God's Word. Do you have a system for spiritual growth? Or you just simply wake up, don't know what to do with your spiritual life. And what you think about is carnal things. Carnal things, more and more carnal things. Because that's exactly what the fiery darts are. All things carnal. You open yourself to the fiery darts that the devil will shoot at you. You do not want them quenched. You want them to penetrate into your soul, even though you call yourself a Christian. Even though you call yourself a mature Christian. Even though you call yourself a Bible teacher, a Bible preacher, an elder, a deacon, a pastor. You think the devil cares he will not fire all these spiritual darts at you? All these fiery darts? He will just aim and shoot. Carnality is the key. All things pertaining to this world he will use. Because he knows that as long as this body is what God has given to us to serve the Lord in, he will focus on this. Because the spiritual and the physical part of us, you cannot separate them. When you are overweight, when you are not healthy, you don't exercise, you feel tired. Spiritually speaking, you will also feel very tired. You don't feel like serving. You don't feel like doing this or doing that because you feel so lethargic. Physical lethargy will also link to spiritual lethargy. You know, I used to keep fit. Hope to have my six-pack before I was born again. To look good, to look nice. Since I was a young boy, I loved to draw. And you know what I love to draw? I love to draw all those superheroes. In those days, they already have Spider-Man, all the superheroes, Captain America. I just like to sit down and draw. And then when I draw their stomach, wow, all the six packs. Then when I was 13 years old, I was still living in Seremban. Then I read somewhere, wow, they have this contraption called the Boo Worker. So I managed to save enough money, and then I ordered the Boo Worker, and the Boo Worker came. Then I read the book on how to use this contraption. How many times a day? Once a day, just follow step one, step two, step three. And then he used one guy who was Mr. Malaysia, Mr. Singapore, some muscular guy to demonstrate. Then in my mind, I dream, wow, one day if I continue, I will look like him. Six pack. Look good. For self-glory. Keep fit. And so, religiously, I would do. The moment that contraption came, I would do. I will make it a point. And if we were out as a family, I will make noise until my parents bring us home so that I will meet my own personal mate appointment. By this time and this day, at 6 o'clock, I must do my Boo Worker. Religiously. And so day by day, little by little, a little bit of my muscle will show. More and more will show. For what? Show off the body. This is the vessel. After salvation, I continue to keep fit. Little by little, it is for the purpose of ministry. How to serve God if I'm overweight and I'm tired all the time? Then I look at the elderly people. Many of them, before they die, they become very frail. So I realize that as you grow older and older, you'll lose muscle mass. So I try not to lose too much weight. I try to build up my muscles by carrying weight. Because as I grow old, I don't want to be a burden to anyone. I still want to serve the Lord. So take care of my health. Exercise, walk. Use the outdoor gym in HDB flat. Carry weights. Why? To try to be as healthy as I can, so that when I prepare my lessons, when I go up and preach, stand behind the pulpit, it's exhausting, it's tiring. Mental exhaustion, physical exhaustion. And so therefore, if you are not careful, you are overweight, you just don't feel like preaching. Because the body of ours is directly related to our spiritual. And the devil knows it. And so persecution is one of the fiery darts that are most effective. You know persecution, right? Your boss can threaten you. You do not compromise your Christian ethics, you lose your job and you're scared. Persecution is taking things away from you that you think you depend upon for life, for your family, for your future, for your survival. And so you compromise. Come to work on Sunday or else. You don't come to work on Monday. But if you not know God's word, keep the Lord's day holy. Amen. Keep the Lord's day holy. But now you're confronted. Your boss says, you've got to come back to work. Now what are you going to do? He says, you don't come back on Monday. Faith. What did the Bible say? My time in this company is not in the hand of man, but in the hand of my God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has placed me in this company to be a holy witness for Him. And if I compromise now, then my witness in this company is gone. What's the point of staying in a company where I am a bad witness for Christ? It defeats the purpose, the reason why I am here. So therefore, what is the conclusion? Keep the Sabbath day holy. I have to come to church. You tell your boss, I'm sorry, I have to be in church. Tell him. Then if he says, you don't come to work on Monday, alright, if that is the case, then I don't come to work on Monday. Are you prepared? Because the devil, the fiery dart of persecution is very real. Because you have your flat to pay for. You have your children to think of. all these things that pertain to the body, the flesh. You see, we are linked. You cannot separate the spiritual and the physical. But now you're spiritual. Your walk with the Lord, your promise to the Lord, the word of God that you want to obey is now being challenged. So your faith is now going to be tested. How have you passed? Many tests or no? Again and again, persecution. Same for children. Oh, must go to the best school. Must be number one. Who says? You forget that the real exam is not on pen and paper. Your exam is with your Lord Jesus Christ. I know many of the children are now in the midst of the PSLE, right? And then after that, other children in other levels are preparing for their exam, final year exam. And then the O level, the A level will be coming. And then those who are in poly and universities also facing exam. And so you strive to get your A's. Why? For self-glory? So that I'm number one in class, I get all A's. And then you start to share and tell others, what did you get? What did you get? And then your pride and your ego will be inflated. That's another fiery diet, isn't it? Pride and ego. Did you pray before you study? Did you lean upon the Lord as you study and take your exams? Did you commit the outcome of the exam to the Lord, knowing that your Heavenly Father will give you the best? That your real exam is your walk with the Lord and not on pen and paper? Or have you forgotten that? Because you no longer wrestle against flesh and blood, right? Everything you do has a spiritual significance and dimension because you are spiritual as a child of God. That's why your real exam is not on pen and paper. And that's why parents, if you focus only on the pen and paper exam of your children, then you have failed them and failed yourself. The fiery darts have penetrated. There is a little weakness in your shield of faith. And you allow carnality to hit the target. And your children will become the victims. And so will you. Seduction is another fiery dart. You know what is seduction, right? Addition. Promotion. Flood your life with a lot of luxury. How many people do you know? Very faithful when they were students. Then they enter into the working world. Then they got married. Then they allow the deceitfulness of riches, which is that fiery dart, seduction. Where your confidence is no longer in Christ, your confidence is now in your bank account. Oh, if I have more money, my children's future is taken care of. All their money that I need for their university education, all taken care of. And so you focus on making as much money as possible. And you think the devil doesn't know? That you only have 24 hours a day. And every minute you spend following and looking after mammon is another hour that you cannot spend following Christ and obeying Him. You think He doesn't know? Of course He knows. And He will seduce you. And all you care about now is how to get yourself out of your HDB flat into the condominium, and then your next step after 5-10 years is out of the condominium into a landed property, and then there is no end, isn't it? And then by the time you find out you are in your 60s and 70s, and then you look back at your life, your shield of faith is full of holes, where the fiery dart of luxury has penetrated it through and through. Shield of faith. Snuff out, quench all the fiery darts. Because if you trust in the Lord, you will not worry about your children's future, neither your own future. If you know the scripture where the truth is girded around you, you know the Lord wants you to live only day by day. And with this pandemic, there are so many more blessings than you could count. You know, because of this pandemic, the rules and regulations that are issued kept on changing, fluctuating. It's so difficult to plan, isn't it? How many of you plan to go on a holiday end of this year? I think none of us did. Now that the Australian government said maybe we'll open in November, have you planned to go to Australia to buy your tickets and so on? I don't think any of us bother to plan because one moment, yes, next moment, no. One moment, yes, next moment, no. One moment, five people, next moment, two, then five. It keeps changing. The result? Just live day by day. Don't want to plan. You get all so confused. And then you get disappointed. Because you plan and then, boom, cannot come to pass. Just live day by day. That's the best. The whole pandemic has already given us a mindset of just living day by day, isn't it? You don't know what tomorrow is going to be like. Up to 24th October, all the old folks, elderly, please do not go out unless because of necessity. Maybe 2 weeks later, midway through, we're going to evaluate. If the number goes down, we will change. Now, these are all the words of man. Everything is so fluid, uncertain, day by day. Isn't that what the Lord taught us in the Sermon on the Mount? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Isn't that what we also pray in the Lord's Prayer? Give me this day my daily bread, O God, right? Daily bread. That's all we should. One day at a time. And if you live one day at a time, what do you need for this body of yours? Clothes, food, that's it. You have enough for today, and don't worry about tomorrow. Isn't that part of the shield of faith that the Lord has taught us? Hey, if you don't worry about tomorrow, then when the devil seduces you, I don't need your gold, Mr. Devil. But don't you need for your children's education? The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. My trust is not in my bank account, not in the size of my bank account. It's in my Lord. Isn't that the shield of faith? But the devil will try to attack it. That's why it's called the deceitfulness of riches. In the parable of the four types of ground. The cares of the family life. The cares of the world. Another fiery dart. And that one is very deadly because when you look at it, it's so innocent. Innocuous. How can providing for my family, for the welfare of my family, be a fiery dart? You know how many people have diminished their service because of children, because of children's education, because of children's tuition? How many of you put tuition on the Lord's Day on purpose? Because that is the only slot available. My daughter, my son must get this tutor. That tutor is the best. And the tutor comes and says, only slot available for your dear child is Sunday. So how would you want? Yes or no? But it's the Lord's Day, is it not? Education is supreme. My family, I must provide for my family. And that in itself becomes a fiery dart. Because you provide for them in the carnal way and not the spiritual. That's why the Lord here says, above all, you take the shield of faith. Strengthen it with the study of God's word. And then when the fiery darts start firing, you'll be prepared and ready. And don't ever stop leaning upon the Lord and trust Him. Take Him at His word. Plain and simple. That's the shield of faith that we all need to keep on strengthening. Because as you mature, the fiery darts get bigger and stronger. When your faith is weak, the Lord will only allow tiny little weak darts. As you mature, as your faith grows stronger and stronger, you realize that the fiery darts will also follow suit. Bigger, stronger. And this time, more people depend upon your shield of faith. If you are a leader in the church, deacons and elders in particular, strengthen your faith, because the congregation, not only your family, the congregation depends on how strong your shield of faith is. Because when you stumble, when you fall, when you become a casualty because the dart pierced through, you just imagine what will happen to this church. And one by one, your deacons become casualty. They can't serve anymore. You only have one elder. Pray for him and his family. If he becomes a casualty, you have no leaders anymore in the church. And without a shepherd, the sheep all will just wander away. And then the church, called Truth BP Church, will cease to exist. Do you want that to happen? That's why your shield of faith is not only protecting yourself, which it does, it must begin there, but everyone else who is under your spiritual charge and care as well. Mom and Dad in particular, your family. The leaders of this church, you are the spiritual family, the leaders, fathers and mothers to God's people. Protect them, watch over them. And once you are able to do that, then the Lord says, you now tick. This is again a command. Tick for yourself the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation protects the brain, your head, your thinking. First and foremost, you must make sure that your salvation is anchored and rooted in God's word, not your feelings. Know all the elements of the doctrine of salvation through and through. Know them well. And you know what the elements of the doctrine of salvation are? The book of Hebrews. Tell us what these elements are. They are called the first principles. The author of Hebrews looked at the Christian Jews and expected them to be teachers, but they were babes, and so he rebuked them. He was angry with them. After so many years, I expected all you to now be teachers of God's word, but you are still babes in Christ. Verses 13 and 14 of Hebrews 5 says, for everyone that useth milk and is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, what are the principles? The basic first principle, the milk doctrines. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again what? The foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. This is one aspect of doctrine of salvation, the gospel. Foundation of repentance. The importance of repentance because of sin only. You know the charismatic gospel attack this. Believe in Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins so that you'll be healthy and wealthy. If someone who is from a charismatic church comes to you, you know how to help the person. You know your doctrine of salvation, your helmet of salvation can help this person because you are very clear that it is not because of health and wealth that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for your sin, and you believe Jesus Christ died for your sin so that you can be healthy and wealthy. That immediately negated the gospel. And anyone who believes in the gospel cannot be saved. Another doctrine of baptisms. Plural, water baptism, the significance of it, the sacrament, and then also baptism with the Holy Spirit. By the Lord Jesus Christ, you know the charismatic attack this, right? Baptism of the Holy Spirit, as if the Holy Spirit will do the baptizing. He doesn't. Do you know how erroneous that is? How strong is your doctrine of baptisms, where Jesus Christ alone baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is, as it were, like the agent. Christ is the one who baptizes us, where the Spirit of God now begins to dwell in us. But the charismatics teaching, baptism of the Holy Spirit, not a scriptural, biblical concept. But we have been talking as if it is true, isn't it? That's how the charismatics have impacted and influenced our vocabulary concerning the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And then you have of laying on of hands. What does it mean? The significance of it. What's the difference between laying on of hands when someone is ordained? When you baptize someone, what is the meaning of laying of hands when someone is sick? And then you have the resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. All these are known as babes in Christ doctrine. Baby. Helmet of salvation means that you must make certain all these aspects of the doctrine of salvation, so that when the devil make you doubt your own salvation, it only works when you are a babe in Christ. But now as a mature believer in Christ, where your salvation is anchored in God's truth, not your feeling. In the past it was feeling, but no longer. Sure, we feel, we thank God for the feeling, but the basis is not the feeling, because sometimes you don't feel safe, and the devil will make use of that. And the moment you begin to doubt your salvation, you are rendered useless and helpless. When you doubt your salvation, you don't feel like wearing the gospel of peace, right, to tell people about the gospel, because you're not even sure whether you yourself believe. You don't feel like coming to church, you don't feel like studying the Bible, you don't feel like doing anything when you're not even sure of your salvation. That's why the Bible describes it as the helmet of salvation, where you protect your mind, your thinking, and how you can be used by God to save someone as well. Not just to make sure and secure your own salvation, but you can help others. When your child comes to you and say to you, after you say the Lord's Prayer with your child, a week or two later, your child get upset and start to cry. How come I still sin, Mom, Dad, after I believed in Christ last week? How come I'm still naughty? How come I still fight with sister? How come I still tell lies? I don't think I'm safe, Mom, Dad. So with your helmet of salvation, you understand the doctrine of salvation, you can help your child. You can help your child understand using simple vocabulary. Make it plain and encourage him. You know your desire to be holy. Your desire not to sin. It's exactly what someone who has accepted Christ must have. And you have it, my child. God does not expect us to be perfect as we serve him in this body. This body will be weak. It's weak, and sometimes we will succumb to temptation and we will still fall into sin. Mom and dad, that's why you see mom and dad quarrel. Mom and dad also fall into sin, but we repent. And as long as you repent right now, and your desire to want to be holy, not to sin against the Lord, it's a good thing. Don't cry. Cry for your sin. What you are going through right now and experiencing is exactly what a truly born-again child of God should experience. And mom and dad are very happy that you have this feeling. Come, let's ask the Lord for forgiveness together. And so you pray with your child and comfort him, because you have the helmet of salvation and you understand this is your own salvific experience, and it is based upon God's word, Romans 7. And so you also share it with him. Of course, you use simple terms. You don't refer to Romans 7. He can't, he's just a child. But you understood all these properly. And so you can help. Not just your own child, others as well. Including grown-up new believers in Christ. The helmet of salvation is a blessing for yourself to steady your own salvation so that you will not become a doubter of your own salvation. And then once you have that security and foundation, you can help others as well in their knowledge and salvation. Who can and who cannot be born again? That is why it is so important for us to ask someone, can you share with me the gospel, please? Because the person who shares with you the gospel is usually the same gospel that he believed in. So if you have a charismatic friend, ask the charismatic friend, can you share with me the gospel, please, in its entirety? And guarantee that would be the same gospel that he himself believed in. And that's how you know whether he is born again and needs your help or not. That's why sometimes it is very frightening and scary when some of our church members want to marry someone who is from another church. And the first thing I do is, please send me the testimony of your salvation. And when you read the testimony of salvation, it has nothing to do with sin, nothing to do with Christ, nothing to do with his death, nothing to do with his resurrection. And so I'm going to keep on asking follow-up questions, because that person is a total stranger. One of our own church members want to marry such a person. Concern? Absolutely. Very concerned. Take the helmet of salvation and now the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The only offensive weapon. The Bible used different words to describe the Bible. In verse 14, it's called the truth, whereby it is for your own consumption, milk and meat, to feed yourself. Sword of the Spirit. Now it is offensive. Also the Word of God. it is used to fight against the enemies who will continue to attack and undermine the truth. And the word of God used here is not logos. For example, you look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. That is logos, the written word. The written word of God. This word used here in Ephesians 6, verse 17, is the preached word, the declared word, the word of God that you explain, when you explain the written word, that's called the declared word, this one. That's why we know that it is an offensive weapon where you fight against those who attack the Bible. You know better, you know what it means, because your church, Truth PP Church, came out of the battle for the truth. And so, the word of God, the declared word of God, when you say the Bible is inerrant, infallible, divinely inspired, that's Rhema. The preached word of God, where you just simply explain, using different terminologies to explain what it means by inspiration, what it means by preservation. Verbal, plenary, inspiration, these are all Rhema, declared word of God, to explain it, to make it clear. The Lord Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. These are all called the declared word of God. And that's what the word of God is meant to do. That means you become a very effective servant of God, standing up, defending the honor of Christ and the word of God itself. And only mature believers can do that. And so as you are a young believer, these pieces of the armor, they are there for you to put on. But they may not fit you very well. Your shield of faith may not be as thick and as strong as it ought to be, because your knowledge of the word of God is that of a babe. But it takes time. In that stage, you are very vulnerable. You need a lot of help and protection. That's why as a babe in Christ, you should not be serving in the front line, because you're going to be target number one. And you're going to become a casualty. That's why the Lord taught Timothy, don't put a novice up into position of leadership, or else he's going to fall under the snare of the devil. Your armor needs to be strengthened, and that's where it comes with maturity, with time. So that you can use the word of God, wield it well to protect others, to defend God's word. Because you will have the skill and the ability and the sensitivity to see that this is an erroneous doctrine. This is a weed, a tear, and not a good seed. When the Lord Jesus Christ used the parable of the wheat and the tares, he purposely chose a tear that looks very much like the wheat plant. And when they both come out of the ground, you can't tell the difference. But when they are fully grown, one will bear fruit, the other one will just be empty. It just have a lot of leaves and shoots, but no fruit. But by then, it's too late. Those who are very good in the word of God, they see this doctrine, they know that it is wrong, and they know how deadly and dangerous it is, how poisonous this is, whereas the rest of you may not be able to see it. Not yet. Until you have the maturity, and then you have the understanding that if this doctrine is permitted to go its direction and manifest itself, it will destroy the church. But when it is in its infancy, the people can't see it, the people can't know it yet, especially when it comes from someone that is close to you and someone that is related to you, where you have some feelings and affection for. You will lose your objectivity. You don't know how dangerous this is. That's how the devil works. He will creep in and come into your midst as an angel of light, pretending to be one of you, pretending to be a Christian, pretending to be a pastor, pretending to be a preacher. Isn't that our problem nowadays? When we look at one another, when we look at churches, we just simply compare the similarities. And when the church is 95%, 98% similar to us, oh, it's fine. When the wisdom of God is, look at the dissimilarity. how dangerous is the dissimilarity. Look at the dissimilarity. Isn't that what the government teach the people who are supposed to protect our currency from being infiltrated by false currency? They are always, usually 99.9% exactly like ours. Can the government say to the workers, if it's 99%, let it pass? So close. Only 0.1% different. Never mind, it's okay, let it pass. Let it be circulated in the millions. The economy will be destroyed when millions of counterfeit bills in the hundreds, in the 50s, are circulated as if it is true, it is real, genuine. Because the government says 0.1%, so small a difference, never mind. You think they will say that? Of course not. This is suicidal. How much more when we talk about the truth of God's word that impacts our eternity? Look at the difference. Look at the difference. One drop of cyanide, 99% fresh milk, you won't drink. You won't drink. Look at the difference. If the difference is in the mode of baptism, fine. If a person comes into your church, let's say, he wants to be a member of the church, then he shares with you, and this is not in your constitution, but he says, you know, I don't believe in celebrating Christmas and Easter. I don't mind attending the end of the year service, but not Christmas, because the origin is idolatrous. And then the person shares with you the history of Christmas, with the Christmas tree and all the rest. What would you say to that person? He's not a member yet. During the interview, the person says, when you ask the person, do you have any issue with our church? I've got no issue with your church except for this, and I know it's not in the constitution, that I cannot accept. I won't be attending any of the Christmas services or the Easter services because I don't believe in it. What about your counsel? Would you want this person to be a member or not? No? Yes. It's a difference, right? Is this a difference big enough? Or a person comes into your church and says that he was a Baptist and he still holds on to the Baptist teaching of immersion only, and he wants to now transfer membership. But all the rest of the doctrines I want to believe and I hold on to it 100% except for mode of baptism. And of course he doesn't believe in infant baptism. Would you accept? Is it serious enough to say, sorry, we welcome you to attend, but I'm sorry we cannot accept you as a member? Difference. What are the major differences? Or is it minor? To the Baptist, you're going to tell the person, sorry, if you cannot accept, please, you cannot accept sprinkling, you cannot accept infant baptism, we would rather you don't be a member. Because infant baptism is a doctrine that is found in our constitution. Do you know that? It's in the Westminster Confession of Faith, which is mentioned in our constitution. Serious. But it doesn't affect his salvation. Yes, I know it doesn't affect his salvation, but it affects the unity of the church. And this person who doesn't believe in Christmas and Easter, you make sure that you tell him, we don't force you to attend. But you better don't go around and tell people not to attend as well. Because if you do that, you are sowing seeds of discord. And that is a disciplinary measure, transgression. Let him know. But it doesn't affect his salvation. I know it doesn't affect his salvation, but it affects the unity. When the unity is destroyed, the devil laughs. When the church is disunited, you look at what happened to the church in Corinth. Schism. So many ways to destroy your church, your witness. The fiery darts. That's why you must know how to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the preached word of God, the declared word of God. And you can't if you do not know the word of God. And people will come in, charismatics will come in, new evangelicals will come in, and they will bring in all kinds of doctrines. And you do not know how to protect yourself. How are you going to protect your family? How are you going to protect God's people? That's why it is incumbent for the leaders to know the Word of God through and through. One of the reasons why I chose FBPC for my studies when the Lord called me into full-time ministry, even though my church leaders from my previous church told me, don't go there. Go to SBC, go to DTC, Discipleship Training College, and all kinds except there. I say no. One of the reasons I want to go to FBPC is because that's the only Bible college in the whole of Singapore that teaches the Word of God in the Hebrew and Greek language properly. SBC, two semesters and that's it. You only know Alpha, Beta, Gamma and that's it. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, that's it. What's the point? You know how to recognize the alphabet, but you don't know how to exit it. And the enemies come into my life, come into the church and say, well, the original says it, the original says that. I'm dumbfounded. So how can I protect myself against all the false teachers and the false doctrine if I do not know the original languages in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek? How can I protect God's people if I do not know Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek? When a false teacher comes in and says, the Greek says this, the Hebrew says this, the Aramaic says this. We become there. We are their mercy. And I don't know how to protect any one of you if they do that. That's why we have to know the Word of God and know it well. Thus say the Lord. This is not the Lord's Word. That is the Lord's Word. That is the armor that God wants for everyone. Especially those who are leaders, those who are parents, because your own spiritual well-being depends on it, and the spiritual well-being of everyone under your care depends on how strong your armor is. May God help us in these last days of apostate Christianity to have on a strong, sturdy, complete armor of God in order to fight and stand, and the end of it all, continue to stand. May God help us. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, to realize how important this armor of God is in our lives, especially in these last days of apostasy. For you have saved us, and you have left us behind in these last days, where Christianity has come under attack and has already turned apostate. And we see that all around us in the charismatic movement, in the new evangelical movement, and of course in Roman Catholicism. We pray, O Lord, that just as the armor of God was sufficient to fight against the evil one in the days of the apostle, we know that it is also sufficient for us 2,000 years later. And we have to fight against an apostate Christianity. May thou be gracious and merciful, O Lord, especially to the leaders of this church. And place in all our hearts, especially the leaders, the fear of God. To make sure that the armor of God that we have on as under shepherd of the flock of your people, that we will not fail them and fail thee, because our armor is weak and we do not have every piece on. May thou be very gracious and merciful to strengthen us and to help us, for we acknowledge that we are weak, but thou art strong. We commit also every parent unto your loving care, for they need to protect their own spiritual well-being as well as that of their family, especially the father who is the head of the house. Help them to realize the importance of having a strong armor, that not a single piece must be weak, but all of them must be strong and be strong in the Lord, so that their home will be a place of peace and spiritual safety and security, and the children may find in that home a home away from our heavenly home, where they will taste what's it like to be a Christian before they truly become Christians themselves. Defend and protect everyone represented here in Truth BP Church, and protect and defend this church against the wiles of the devil, both from within and without. The Truth BP Church will remain faithful and true to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, until the day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. Hear our cry, O God, for Jesus' sake. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen.